From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. There's been no signal from Islamist militants in the Middle East on the fate of two hostages, one from Jordan and another from Japan. Militants from the so-called Islamic State have demanded freedom for a jailed would-be suicide bomber held in Jordan in exchange for the release of a captured Jordanian pilot. The demands have appeared in unverified audio messages, apparently read by the Japanese hostage. U.S. Undersecretary of State Wendy Sherman in Tokyo says the U.S. is offering its full support to Japan.
Unfortunately, the United States has been through this experience of this situation, and we know how difficult it is. We are in solidarity with Japan in every way we possibly can.
Jordan has indicated it is willing to free the jailed Islamist militant, but first wants proof that its captured pilot is still alive. At least 29 people have been killed and dozens more injured after a mosque in Pakistan was bombed today. NPR's Philip Reeves says the attack occurred in the city of Shikarpur.
Reports say that people had to be dug out of the rubble after part of the mosque collapsed. After last month's massacre of more than 130 school kids in the city of Peshawar, Pakistan's government drew up a big plan to stamp out violent Islamist groups. This latest bloodshed means that it'll be under even more pressure to take effective measures.
No one has claimed responsibility for today's bombing. Sectarian attacks, especially against the Shia by Sunni extremists, have occurred for years in Pakistan. China's education minister has told universities not to use textbooks that push Western values, according to Chinese state media. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports on the Communist Party's mounting ideological crackdown.
Education Minister Yuan Guiran said universities should forbid criticism of China's leaders or the country's political system inside the classroom. The edict comes as the government disrupts virtual private networks, or VPNs, which help people access foreign websites China's internet cops have already blocked. China's government limits access to many foreign websites to prevent its people from learning damaging information about the regime. Earlier this week, an annual Human Rights Watch report criticized China for tightening already limited free speech in the media and on the internet, as well as jailing rights activists, lawyers, and critics. Human Rights Watch China Director Sophie Richardson called the government's repression of critics, quote, the worst in a decade. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.
South Africa has released from prison a former assassin for the former apartheid government. Eugene de Kock had been in prison for more than 20 years for his role in the torture and murder of black South African activists. He had been given two life terms. But South Africa's justice minister says de Kock has expressed remorse and helped officials recover the remains of some of his victims. You're listening to NPR News. The Senate has passed legislation approving the Keystone XL pipeline. The vote was 62-36. It must now be reconciled with similar legislation that has already passed in the House. But President Obama has previously warned if the bill reaches his desk, he will veto it. The Senate vote yesterday would not be enough to override a veto. Supporters say the pipeline would help create many new American jobs. Opponents are worried about its environmental effects. The state of Connecticut has awarded $6 million to a man who was wrongfully imprisoned. As Patrick Scahill from member station WNPR reports, Kenneth Ireland served more than two decades behind bars for a rape and murder he did not commit.
Ireland was arrested in 1987 at the age of 18 and was sent to a maximum security prison. In 2009, he was released after DNA tests proved another man raped and killed a 30-year-old woman. Sherry Cooney is Ireland's mother.
21 years he's never going to get back. 21 years when he could have gotten married, he could have had children, he could have had a career, he could have gone to college.
Ireland sued under Connecticut's wrongful incarceration law. In a memo, the state acknowledges Ireland's imprisonment deprived him of opportunities both large and small. Following his release, Ireland worked as a bookkeeper. In October, Governor Daniel Malloy named him to a paid position on the state parole board. For NPR News, I'm Patrick Scahill in Hartford.
Poet and musician Rod McEwen has died. He was 81. His half-brother says he'd had pneumonia. McEwen recorded many poems and songs. He was known for his hit Jean, which was featured in the film The Prime of Miss Jean Brody. This is NPR.